talking about the new mind that God wants to instill in us, re-engineer in us, put inside of us. Last week, we basically described the new mind, and we talked about how the Scripture says the new mind is life and peace. The new mind is single-focused, and the new mind is able to deal with the self. The new mind has the capacity and the ability to deal with the self. This is kind of the prevailing statement of this entire series. It's this idea. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. I don't know anyone who's ever broken that law. You cannot have a negative mind and live a positive life. So today I want to zero in a little bit and talk more about the negative mind, the positive mind. We call the old mind the new mind. How I want to describe the old mind, and then I want to show you how the mind is renewed. I remember in 1993, I was in an accident at work. A couple of summers while I was in college, I'd go back home, and I would work in a warehouse. It was a food distribution warehouse. What we did in the warehouse is we got a bunch of food from all over the country. We unloaded it, and we put it in shelving, long, almost 100-yard-long shelves, and then we would pull it off the shelves according to what a grocery store would order, and we'd put it in the truck, and then it would ship out. And so I worked all night. I would work from 5:30 at night till whatever we got done loading the trucks. I worked in the perishable side, so it was cold all the time. And there was a produce area in there, and in the produce area, they would keep all the produce iced down before we'd ship it out, and the ice would melt off and put puddles in the floor. Well, I'm working in there about 1 o'clock one morning, and I hear a guy screaming behind me, "Hey, look out!" And his pallet jack goes about 30 miles an hour, hydroplaned on one of those puddles and came racing right behind me. I turned around just in time to see it, jumped up out of the way, and it caught one of my feet between that pallet jack and another and just crushed it, crushed the fire out of it, and broke several of my toes, put me in the hospital. And just as fate would have it, 2 months later, Stacy and I were to get married. Everybody loves to marry a cripple. And so I was rehabilitating and all this stuff. But during that summer, I learned something about the old mind. Because my foot was crushed so bad that I couldn't lower it below my heart, but just a few minutes a day. So I'm laying there in the bed. You know, and I'm a very active person. I'm used to being active. I'm used to going day and night. And all of a sudden now, I can't go anywhere for nothing. I can barely go to the bathroom. When I got up and put my foot below my heart, it felt like somebody held a blowtorch on my foot. It burned so bad, I couldn't wait to go lay back down. But then I laid there, and I laid there, and I laid there, and I laid there. And I just sat around, and my mind started to go backwards. It started to deprave. It started to darken. It started to mush. It started to dull. I just watched TV and laid there, and no matter how hard I wanted to or how bad I tried, I could not bring myself to pray or read the Bible. I just remember it feeling like the walls was shrinking in on me. And that was a really frustrating, I'd never been limited like that before in my life. And it was a very frustrating time. And I can remember how dull and how unspiritual and how mushy and how dark and how old my mind became. It just became weary, and there was no life in it. There was no expectation. There was no faith. There was no new thought. There was no dream. There was no nothing. I was just caged there and stuck. And what I learned then is, if you don't fill your mind with godly thoughts, your mind will revert back to old patterns faster than you think. I guarantee it. So let me just describe for you the next few minutes, if you want to jot a few notes. What does the old mind look like? Maybe you can hear some of these thoughts and say, man, you might hear these and say, but my mind has some places it needs some renewing. What does the old mind look like? Well, the old mind will not think about people the right way. The old mind thinks wrong thoughts toward people. The old mind is distrusting toward people. The old mind is critical of people and their words. If you find yourself being critical of people in what they say and what they do, if you find yourself constantly evaluating other people's motives, trying to decide, you just know that there's a bad reason or a selfish reason that everybody does everything they do and you're the only one that's smart enough to find it, that's old mind stuff. That's old mind kind of thinking. If you find yourself speaking negatively about people, that's old mind kind of thinking. If you find yourself having the wrong value of people, either not valuing people enough or valuing them for the wrong reasons, that's old mind thinking. The old mind won't think about people the right way, but the old mind won't think about God the right way. Watch this. Distrust is one of the key factors in the old mind pattern. Not only does the old mind distrust people, the old mind distrusts God. The old mind has a fundamental problem with faith. In the unrenewed and the old mind, you will have regular and intense battles with doubt. You will doubt God's power. You will doubt God's wisdom. You will doubt God's love. You will doubt God's care over your life. The old mind, we said last week, is double-minded. The old mind struggles with faith. And in the end, the unrenewed or the old mind won't produce much spiritually because there is no belief or expectation or faith. We struggle to believe God because we can't see how our life's going to work out. But the Bible says faith comes through hearing God's word. Without regular infusions of God's word, what we allow to shape our thinking is our emotions. And our emotions go like this. God's word goes like this. And when we base our thinking on something that goes like this, then our mind becomes old and unrenewed. If you want to write a thought down for today, I'll give you a thought for the day. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is thinking like God. That's what faith is. Faith is thinking like God. And so the unrenewed or the old mind doesn't think like God. The old mind thinks like the world. The old mind thinks like how I feel. The old mind thinks like my emotions. The old mind has trouble with people. The old mind has trouble thinking about God the right way. The old mind has trouble thinking about ourselves the right way. We said this some last week. The old mind will overestimate or underestimate ourselves. But just like the other two, the inner voices in the unrenewed mind tend to be destructive and critical. Either destructive of others or self-destructive. The more renewed my mind is, though, the more controlled my thought life is. Have you ever wondered this question? Why do I have so much trouble focusing when I try to pray? That's a function of the old mind. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. One of the earmarks of the old mind is the thought life is out of control, untamable, unable to focus. Why do we have trouble focusing? Our minds are filled with old thoughts and old patterns. The old mind is also independent. The old mind is independent. It's fiercely independent. It doesn't need anything from anybody and wants no thoughts from anybody else. It's independent. It's always right. Let me give you kind of a strange illustration on this. I read a story about a lady who attended her local school, a DARE meeting, which is basically, I don't know what the acrostic stands for, but it's basically the public school system's program designed to help children say no to drugs. And this happened to be for sixth graders. So some students stood up and shared their reason for rejecting drugs. One by one, one after another, they would say, I'm not going to take drugs because I want to stay healthy. I'm not going to take drugs because I want to reach my goals. I'm not going to take drugs because I want to do good in school. All those reasons were good in and of themselves, but they all had one thing in common. All those reasons were self-interest. Not one person in the program stood up and said, I reject drugs because they're wrong to take. Or I reject drugs because it'll bring shame to my family or to God. Nobody said, I won't take drugs because it could wreck my family or cause my parents to become poor. I could take all their money bailing me out and try to rehab me and everything else. Only independent reasons were given. The old mind is independent And ultimately says, I can't trust God to take care of me, so I'm going to take care of myself. You feel that those distant thoughts from God. The old mind is also immature. I have a pastor friend who pastors in Miami. In his church is the chair or the leader of the psychology department, the University of Miami, who evaluates and sort of helps place all incoming freshmen. They did a psychological profile of the average incoming freshman at the University of Miami and found out that they had the emotional maturity level of a 12-year-old. Did anybody need science to understand that? The emotional maturity level of a 12-year-old. The unrenewed mind, the old mind, is immature. The old mind is constantly preoccupied with basic human desires and is constantly seeking to be filled up with food, with entertainment, and consumer goods. To the old mind, boredom is the greatest evil and entertainment is the greatest good. The old mind is also narcissistic. It's a preoccupation with oneself. The narcissistic mind will manipulate relationships, will manipulate concepts, will try to manipulate the church, will try to manipulate God's word, will try to manipulate God, will try to manipulate religion in order to validate their own need for power and admiration. And then here's the last description I want to give you of the old mind. And in our culture, I think it's the worst. It's the passive mind. The old mind is passive. The old mind would rather do nothing and let life pass by than get involved. From watching TV to listening to sermons, the old mind's objective is to be entertained with a minimum of energy expended. The old mind over time creates a person that shrinks into a couch potato and loses more and more ability to control their own life and their own thought life. They're a person that would rather watch the game than play in it. They're a person that would rather, a mind that would rather watch an interesting love life of someone on a soap opera than invest in their own marriage. They're a person that would love to hear another good sermon rather than live the Christian life. Most of the time when I hear somebody say, you know what I hadn't heard in a good long time? I hadn't heard a really good sermon. You know what that usually means? I'm not really living the Christian life. I'm just looking for Christian entertainment. How about the adventure of having a new mind and be filled with faith and live the adventure of the Christian life that Jesus died to give us? Our new mind, see, here's what happens. When you and I get saved, we are transformed. But not everything. There are old patterns that hang around. There are old ways of living and old things that, and I don't understand all of that. I don't understand why it happens. I don't understand why sometimes a person's saved and some things are instantly dealt with and other ones aren't. I don't understand the difference in those, but I know it's true. I know it happens. I know old patterns linger around and those patterns have to be changed because they're in conflict with my new mind and they constantly choke it out. I'm telling you, the old mind is Satan's greatest weapon against you and me. It's his greatest access point into our life for temptation and discouragement and distraction. Now this morning what I want to zero in on are really one way, there's two ways to deal with the mind. But I want to really zero in this morning on one of them, and next week we'll talk about the other one. How do you deal with the old mind? How do you deal with the old thought patterns? How do you renew your mind? There's two ways. One is what you put in it. The other one is what you keep out. What you put in it and what you keep out. Now, I think, unfortunately, for too long, many people have believed that what was more important is what you keep out. I don't think that. I believe what's more important is what you put in. Because what you put in gives you the strength to overcome and keep out the things you need to keep out. Legalistic Christianity sometimes thought the path to the new mind was just keeping stuff out. The problem with that defensive mechanism of just keeping the wrong things out is, yes, your mind may be less polluted, your mind may be less toxic, your mind may have less of those thoughts in it, but your mind on the end may just end up empty with nothing, a void, a vacuum. Negative things are maybe not there as much. I think that's why legalistic Christianity has no power. A person may say, I'm a good Christian, and you ask, how do you know you're a good Christian? Their answer usually is, they start giving you their don't list. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't see bad movies, and I don't, you know, take drugs, or I don't drink, or I don't this, or I don't that, or I don't the other. And their list is don't. How many of you ever known just mean, bitter old Christians who didn't do wrong things? Man. And they walk the chalk, and they want to remind you where the line was every time you were around them. But that kind of living might spare you from some entanglement in worldly things externally, but there is no renewal in it. There is no newness in it. There is no life in it. What if we measured Christianity not by what we didn't do, but by renewal and by transformation and by... What if we measured Christianity by our thought life? What if that's how we measured it? How would that... Remember last week you talked about putting all our thoughts up on the screen? How would that feel? How would that look? How well would you and I do on that test if we were to measure Christianity by our thought life, not by our don't list? See, renewal doesn't come from what you keep out. Keeping the wrong things out protects the renewal that's happening, but it doesn't cause it. Where renewal comes from are putting the right things in. So the question I came to ask you this morning is, what are you putting in? Now, I said all that to say this. Look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, if you got a pen and you want to do this, I want to give you three words or phrases to circle in this passage that we're going to look at. This is your spiritual act of worship. Circle that word worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now the next three words in the verse 2. Circle those. Do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Circle that word, transformed. Look at this. By the renewing of your mind. What did that verse just say? Renewing your mind brings transformation. You want your life to change? Put something different in your mind. You want your life to change? You want your attitude to change? You want your behavior to change? You want your perspective to change? You want your outlook to change? Put something new inside your mind. Put something fresh. Put something alive. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, after all that, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's look at a few of those phrases step by step. Do not conform. In other words, do not let things that change set the standard for your life. Do you know, unfortunately, we live in a day where I think, especially if you're, say, 40 or under, we get more of our theology from TV and movies and media than we get from the Scripture or our local church or oftentimes even our families. The problem with that is the theology that is out there embedded in the thinking about God, the thinking about the supernatural, the thinking about heaven and hell and earth and everything else and humanity that's embedded in the entertainment industry is a changing theology. And if you conform your life to something that changes, you will never be able to anchor to anything that will change you. And the problem that you and I have is us. That's the problem. And we will never change as long as we anchor to something that keeps changing. But when we anchor to something that doesn't change, it has the power to change us. Do not be conformed any longer TV changes, TV shows change, education changes, fads, decorations, taste, preferences, who's in, who's out, who's popular, the new thing to do. Outward things constantly change. Don't allow your soul to conform to any of them. But the Romans 12 says, but be transformed from within by a new way of thinking in your inner life, in your character. The new mind thinks different than the old mind. Be transformed. Do not conform. Break away from an old pattern of thinking. Anchor your mind in something that won't ever change. It'll be the same every time you touch it. Then transform. This is an interesting word. Do you remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And he took those few disciples that were closest to him, and he basically kind of took off his humanity and said, look, this is what I really am. And the Bible says he turned into something else in front of their eyes. He changed from the form of a man. He transfigured. That's the same Greek word there that you find in Romans chapter 12. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, the way the world works, the world's theology, but be transformed, be transfigured, be changed from inside. And the only way that I can understand how to do that is the way the Scripture teaches us here. Right here, with a new way of thinking. So that brings us to the last word here. Did you see in 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's talk about worship for a minute. We think of worship as what we did 20 minutes ago. No argument. That's worship. That's part of worship. It's just not all of it. What Romans 12 says is that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, and this is your spiritual act of worship. This is what worship is. The Greek word for worship in Romans 12 originally meant to work for hire or pay. To work for hire or pay. It later came to mean to serve, and then it meant, listen to this, that thing that a person gives their whole life to. It might be work, but it's more than work. It's a person's consuming passion. True worship is offering one's body and everything I do every day to God. Here's what I want to say today. Worship, your spiritual act of worship, is daily pursuit and communion with God. Your spiritual act of worship is reaching out for God every day. It's not an event. It's not going somewhere. It might include some of those. It's not necessarily coming together here and worshiping, although it includes that. But it's a baseline for life. Spiritual act of worship is living for God every day. Worship, real worship, is the act of offering everyday life to God. And you can see that as you read the rest of Romans 12, because as you go in past those two verses, here's what the next few verses begin to say. It says, if you serve, serve like this. If you teach, teach like this. If you lead, lead like this. If you do administration, do it like this. Lead with diligence. Be faithful. Do a good job. Do it like you're working for God and not for people. In other words, whatever you do, wherever you work, whatever neighborhood you live in, whatever ball team your kids play on, whatever school you go to, whatever your days are filled with, offer them to God. Your driving passion in life, your number one thing, your big deal. It's to go after and pursue God. So many times we look for the event or the weekend or the experience or the moment or the church service. We look for the exception, and we wrongly think when this spaceship breaks the clouds and comes down and lands on me and a light pops out and cones over my head, then I'll be renewed. Then I'll finally live the Christian life I've been dreaming of living all this time. But renewal, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, transformation, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, is not the event, it's everyday life. You might go to an event, you might have an event, you might have an encounter, you might have a moment that is a catalyst to change everyday life. But everyday life, God, give us a passion to live everyday life, to live life every day, to say, God, today I'm up, today I'm down, things are going good, today things are going bad, but you do not change. And so I anchor my soul in that does not change. And God, I offer, Lord, today's your day. Boy, it brings a whole new meaning to this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. God, this is a day that you gave me. It's another day of life you've given me. And Lord, I offer myself to you today that you might be glorified. I offer myself today that you might be worshipped. Something about that act of sacrificing yourself, sacrificing your day, sacrificing your life, sacrificing your moment, your attitude, sacrificing those things to God. Something about that act is transformational. It changes you. You don't set out to be changed. You're just trying to worship the one who saved you. But something about that daily living changes you. Renewal in the daily. We've got to become passionate about daily living. Not waiting for someone to throw a big rock in the pond to make a splash, but living in the flow, in the current. See, I think too many times we treat our spiritual life kind of like a pond. A standalone event. A standalone, isolated thing. We just pull up to it and drink, and we get refreshment, and then we wander on through life wondering when the next pond's going to come. When's the next pond? Where's the next watering hole? Where's the next place that I can drink? Where's the next? But here's the thing about a pond. Ponds stagnate, and moss and stuff grows over it, and it begins to dry up in the burning hot sun of life, and it starts to stagnate. Ponds become puddles. But let me tell you this. You know what rivers become? Oceans. They flow, and there's a constant current of renewal that carries you. When you're not waiting for the next pond, you're not waiting for the next event, you're not waiting for the next thing, you're not waiting for the next change. The change isn't outside you, the change is inside you. Because there's a river flowing through you in everyday life that is renewing you day by day by day. The new mind. Living things grow, and growing things live. The new mind, a passion for daily living. Let me give you a new mind test. A new mind test. What is God teaching you now? Here's a new mind test. Kind of a test to see, where is my mind in the renewal process? What is God teaching you now? Hey, there's points in my life. If you were to ask me that question, I would say, huh? I have no idea what you're asking, and I don't even know. But if I were honest with you, that answer would tell me a lot about the condition and the newness and the oldness of my thought life. Look, it doesn't mean if you can't come up with it in the next 4 seconds, a trap door is going to open and you're going to hit a chute and go straight to hell. What it means is, what would your relationship with God look like if you were to take that question and pull it in close and take it to your devotions and were to ask God, what are you teaching? You may already know what he's teaching you, but you can't think of it on the spot because you didn't think about it like that. But you go, oh, yeah, yeah. God's really been, He's been working on my life in this area, or he's been teaching me this. And if you had some time, if you went back to your devotions and looked over, this pattern's here. The Holy Spirit's been talking to me like this. You could come up with it. It's not about how fast you can answer. It's about no matter how long it takes, what is the answer? That's the thing. So if you do some reflection and an answer doesn't come eventually, then you have to say, am I walking in a daily worship with God? Am I giving? Am I offering my life as a living sacrifice? Is God getting to do in me what he wants? Or am I just kind of living an old mind, an old thought pattern life? I know for me, a couple of months ago, I can take you to where I was at. I remember I was seeking God. The truth is, I don't completely remember everything it was, but there was a big burden in my mind. And I was seeking God. I was saying, God, help me understand. Help me know what to do. Help me decide, whatever. And I can remember the Holy Spirit just whispering to my heart, seek me. And I thought, oh, good. I'll seek you, and then you give me the answer. And he said, no, the answer is seek me. There's no other answer. And so for a couple of months, I just feel like one of the things the Holy Spirit's been doing in my life is just calling me to seek him because I want him, not because I want anything. Not because an answer will come or not. Not because an insight or a wisdom or a decision. And God does give generously all of those things. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying for whatever reason, the season of my own inner soul is in the point where God's just talking to me like that. Teaching me like that. And so there's different seasons for everybody. The question for you this morning is, what's God teaching you now? So how do I get renewal? To keep a new mind, you have to keep introducing new thoughts. And what I mean by new thoughts is, I mean life-giving thoughts, God's thoughts. There are people on earth whose minds are filled with knowledge and information, but whose minds are old and dark, and the patterns are have them in bondage. New mind. Well, let me give you a few places if you want to jot some thoughts down. Your devotions. Man, your devotion. I guarantee you, if somewhere in your life you don't develop a devotional life, your mind will come to a point and stop, and it will not develop anymore in Christ. I'm not saying the Bible says it. I'm saying that's my word. That's my word to you. That's my, after walking with God 25 years, that's my thought. Is that if you don't find a time, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to do it every day, you don't have to be Paul the Apostle, you don't have to be like anybody else you know. But I'm telling you, if you don't find some way to have a devotional life, a private time where you pray and read the Bible for yourself, your mind, in my opinion, cannot stay renewed. It will renew when you get saved. It'll be like a rocket that throws off a launching pad, and it will go for a while, but then it will burn out and start to grow cold and dark. And you'll have trouble sustaining that renewal, and you'll be going from pond to pond to pond rather than river. And so I just want to encourage you, get a Bible you can understand. I highly encourage some kind of reading plan, just because I don't know anybody that can get up every day and make up something brand new and stick to it. If you know what you're going to do that day, you're a lot more likely to do it than getting up in the morning and trying to reinvent the wheel every day. Find a reading plan. You can read the Bible through in a year. You can read a chapter a day. You can read, one Psalm, one Proverb, one Old Testament, one New Testament chapter a day. And you get to the Bible, I think, in a year like that. You can read a book at a time. I've done Bible reading plans where I took every book of the Bible. By the way, there's 18 that have four chapters or less, and I've read that book every day for a month, just trying to get that new thinking in my brain. Whatever. Find a plan that works. Find a prayer time that works for you. I brought a copy of a devotional book that I've used. If you've never read it, My Utmost for His Highest. Yeah, it just says March 13th, March 14th, March 5th. You just wake up, look at the date, and you have one page to read. And it is phenomenal. But here's what I'm saying to you. The only way to have a renewed mind, to have a new mind, is to keep putting new thoughts in it. New thoughts about God, or your mind will dull. It will revert back like I did when my foot was crushed. It will revert back to those old patterns faster than you think it will. And I'm just saying to you, that will happen to all of us at any point in our life. You can never let up on it. One day we'll see Him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And when we do, we'll finally be like Him. And when we're finally like Him, I don't know what we'll do. But for now, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to keep putting His thoughts inside our mind. Deeper Life, we have Wednesday night classes at our church. That's where God's Word is taught. You can come and have new thinking put in your mind. I think SOAK is a phenomenal way to do that. I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and come. SOAK is an incredible way to do that. Every third Sunday night of the month, SOAK service is a time to sort of absorb in God's presence and His ways and His thinking and His leading. A worship service, life groups. Proverbs says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But you know what I find? When I'm carrying a burden that feels too heavy for me, when I just get around other people, whether I talk about it or not, it seems like the burden, the weight of the burden is more evenly distributed among the whole group, because you get around people that just act normal and laugh and have fun and whatever. And there are those moments where other people gather and pray for you, and they pray God's word over you, and they pray God's thoughts over you, or in conversation, you have people, whether they quote where they got it from or not, it rings true to you that this is God's ways, these are God's thoughts. And when you get around God's people, there's no perfect people, but when you get around God's people, I'm telling you, it renews. Iron sharpens iron. And that fellowship is not like relationships with somebody you have at work or in the community who doesn't know Christ. Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. And when you get around the community of faith, you distance yourself too long from the church, from Christian community, from the scripture, from worship, from prayer. You distance yourself from those things, I guarantee your mind will never stay renewed. You'll have an old mind. And you'll start to doubt God. Was God even real? Did any of this ever happen to anybody but me? I mean, was that real? Did that really happen? Am I really saved? You know, and you start to doubt all that. You've got to make an intentional effort to keep your mind new. Next week, we're going to talk about not just keeping the wrong things out. We're not coming next week just to pick on, you know, every show that's on TV or something like that. We're going a lot deeper than that. But next week we're going to talk about the sources where we get our information from that shapes our thinking, and how keeping those out will help keep the renewal of your mind happening. The week after that, we're going to talk about what happens to those thoughts that are buried very deep and they're negative patterns, and you've been trying to deal with it and you can't deal with it. What do you do then? We're going to talk about how to deal with it. Here's what I want to do this morning, though. I just want to end a little different. I think the key thought for today is, what is God teaching you? What is God teaching you? What is God doing in your life now? I think that's the big deal. And what I want to do is, I'm not going to call you to prayer here this morning with our prayer team, because I don't want anybody on the prayer team to miss this. I want to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask you to pray. If you already know what the Holy Spirit's teaching you, I'm going to ask you to pray that. To pray that God will continue. If you don't know what the Holy Spirit's teaching you, I'm going to ask you to ask Him. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Show me. What are you doing in my life? Where are you leading me? What are you saying to me? And then we're going to close with a worship song that I think is good thinking. It's good godly thinking.